I thank you for the unity we have. I thank you for the brothers and sisters in this room gathered together right now. Those who are part of our church family and part of our brothers and sisters at First Baptist who are unable to make it this morning. I thank you for the unity we have with them as well. Lord, I thank you also for the believers all around this world who are gathering together this Lord's Day. Lord, many of them have already met, have already gathered, and have already worshiped you. Lord, this unity we have with them. And Lord, we pray even more so for those who are not gathering this morning, for those who need to hear your message. Lord, make us mindful on how we can take your message to them, how we can share the love of Christ with them, how we can minister to them, not just here in our community, but all over this world. Lord, thank you for being a God who is bigger than our small town. Thank you for being a God who is bigger than our state, who is bigger than our country, a God who rules our entire world. We pray for your Spirit to lead us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, open up to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. As you're turning there, our message this morning is to the ends of the earth. I need our ushers' help real quick, the beginning of the sermon. I think I've cued them enough. I've got some cards I'm going to hand out to you. They are our faith promise cards, and I'll instruct you what to do with those here in just a few moments. But for now, our ushers are just going to hand them out. And we're going to be talking about taking the gospel message to the ends of the earth. You know, part of what we do here at First Baptist Church is we share our faith with others. We reach out in a way that we can share the love of Christ with others around us. And one of the ways we do that, it has a global effect. It's more than just here in Robinson, Illinois. I started looking into some different companies and different logos, recognizable entities, if you will. How many of you all have eaten at McDonald's sometime this week? Right? How about in the last 2 weeks at least? Okay, a few more hands went up. How many of you all would say you eat at McDonald's at least once a month? At least once a month I eat at McDonald's, okay? Excellent. All right, how many of you all have been to Walmart this week? How many of you all have been to Walmart multiple times this week? All right, how many of you all will probably go to Walmart today? Okay, yeah. There are some products, some things that are recognizable. We see them and we know them just by their sight. We use them on a regular basis. We have one in particular at our house that gets used an awful lot, and that is Coca-Cola. How many of you all have had a Coke today? All right, how many of you all will have a Coke at some point today? All right, how many of you all think Coke is the grossest thing ever and you'll never drink it? You're weird people, okay? We love you. In the name of Jesus, you're weird, okay? I drink Dr. Pepper. My wife drinks Coke. You know, Coke is probably the most recognizable brand in the world. Studies have shown that more people know about Coke or the brand Coke than just about anything else. As a matter of fact, 97% of the world has at least heard of the brand Coca-Cola. 97%. Now think about that. We're talking about people and groups in foreign, remote countries and remote places that have at least heard about Coca-Cola. They know the name or they've heard the name before. That only leaves 3% of people who don't know what it is on the entire planet. 72% of the world has actually seen a can of Coca-Cola at some point. 7 out of 10 people on this entire planet. That seems crazy. In America, it's got to be around 100%. But you think about, again, some of these remote places, places where people have not even really ventured into other than the natives, and 7 out of 10 have seen a can of Coca-Cola. And over half, 51% of the world, has drank Coke at some point. 51% of this entire planet has had a Coca-Cola. Now, I would say about 50% of those, 50% of the world actually enjoys Coca-Cola. So if you're in that 1%, that's why I call you weird, okay? We love you, but you're strange. Now, 51% has tasted Coke. This has got me thinking. Coca-Cola is an amazing brand to have their advertising reach 50% of the world. 50% of the world has tried their product, and almost 100%, 97%, knows who they are. The crazy thing is Coca-Cola has only been around since 1904 as a company. 1904, a little over 100 years. And in that span of time, they have reached the entire world. I'm under the conclusion that if God had given the task of world evangelism to the Coke company, world evangelism would be accomplished right now. If that was the plan, you know, it's crazy that there are so many things that we recognize, that we know, that we use, that have reached every corner of the earth. And the gospel message, the good news, the truth about what God wants to do in the life of an individual is kept a secret. Studies show that less than a third of the world, less than a third of the world, is a born-again, what the Bible would call a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Less than a third of the world. They've tasted Coke, but they've never tasted the love of God. This morning, we're going to be reading Acts chapter 1 and looking at our mission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. If you will, read with me the first 11 verses in Acts chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1 and read through verse 11. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And he had suffered. He also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was together with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." Verse 8 is a key verse. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing into the heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." This morning, our mission is to take the message of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, to take it out of just our local community and spread it to the entire planet. I've started asking some questions, trying to figure out whose job it is to do this mission. Whose job is it? Whose responsibility is it to share the gospel message? Some of these are easier than others. Let me ask you this. Whose responsibility is it to share the message of God's word with your neighbor? Whose responsibility is it? It's your responsibility, right? It's your job. They live next door to you. Get out there, meet your neighbors, and share the love of Christ. Whose responsibility is it then to witness to that coworker you work with every day? It's yours, absolutely. You have that responsibility. Whose responsibility is it then to witness to the stranger you run into at the store? Boy, it gets a little more convicting when we start thinking of this. We have to start a conversation with strangers. We don't like doing that. Some of you aren't gifted at that. I understand. I have a natural gift. When I walk into Walmart, I apparently have this glowing sign above my head that says, "Talk to me, I'm interested." You know, because I get conversations all the time. My wife doesn't. She has a sign that glows over her head that says, "I'm here to shop, leave me alone." You know, and so that some people are more gifted than others. I understand that. But there's this truth. We have a responsibility for that individual. Does that mean we need to always start a conversation? Well, we let the Spirit lead and try to figure out whether it's the right time, the right place, but ultimately, it's our responsibility. Let me ask you this. Whose responsibility is it to witness to that atheist man who lives in the New England area? He's covered in snow right now, doesn't want to have anything to do with God. He's in 6 feet of snow, and somebody needs to go tell him the message of Christ. Whose responsibility is that? It's your responsibility. Whose responsibility is it to witness to the lost woman in Europe who doesn't know the truth, the life-changing truth of what God's Word says? It's our responsibility. Whose responsibility is it to witness to the tribes of Africa or the cities in South America? Whose responsibility then is world missions? Whose job is it to take this message to the ends of the earth? It is your mission. It is my mission. It is our job to take this message to the entire world. This morning, as we look at missions, the first thing we realize is that the gospel message has a global impact. It has a global impact. The gospel was given not just for a remote small group of individuals, but it was given to the entire world. As a matter of fact, Jesus says exactly that in Acts 1:8. He says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Can you imagine being one of the 11 disciples that were standing before him? There were 11 who were found faithful and remained, and Jesus says, "You 11, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Easy. Got it. We're already there. "You'll also be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria." Okay, we can branch off and reach our local area. "And you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." Those 11 individuals had to feel overwhelmed to think that their mission was to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, that same message that Jesus shares with those disciples, he shares with us as well. You have a responsibility to take the gospel message to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is your local area, your bubble that you currently live in. It's the people you come in contact with already. It's those who you talk to on a daily basis, those you run into regularly. Your Jerusalem is Robinson or Hudsonville or Crawford County or wherever you are currently placed. Your Jerusalem is your job. Your Jerusalem is your school. Your Jerusalem is your neighborhood. Your Jerusalem is right where you are. You have a responsibility to take the gospel message to those who you regularly come in contact with. This is the easiest part of this message. The easiest part is just to share God's word with the people you are already around. You're already talking to them. You already see them. And now all you have to do is share. This is the easiest part, and yet we often neglect this key element. I'm all for foreign missions. As a matter of fact, we've talked with our mission board and talked about possible mission trips at future dates and future years. I know our Sunday school classes express an interest and for some reason going to Mexico. I don't know why that keeps coming up, but wherever we go, we express interest in going wherever. We want to get out of this country and go and do. Our youth are involved in missions outside of Robinson, Illinois, as they're preparing, Lord willing, to go to Florida again this year. And we're excited to support them and do that. And we are all about going and doing the mission work. But we often forget and neglect that there is mission work right here in our Jerusalem. There is work to be done with the people you are already talking to. Now, that's not an excuse. Many churches say, don't send and don't go and don't do. Take care of your own and worry about where you're living first. Now, I don't believe that, and I'll share that with you as our message goes on. I believe we ought to be going out as well as staying here, but you have a responsibility. Every day we have opportunities pass us. People that enter into our closest sphere of influence, that we have the opportunity just to share with them, this is what God has done in my life, and this is what He can do in yours. I had a professor when I was in college, and boy, he was great at making you feel guilty. Boy, you know there are some people that are spiritually blessed with giving you guilt. You know who I'm talking about. You've got several friends or acquaintances who every time you see them, they say something that just knocks you to your knees. Well, this particular professor was our professor of evangelism. And right before spring break, I was getting ready to fly home to Miami, Florida from Louisville, Kentucky. It was a week break. I didn't have time to drive and all that. I'd got a plane ticket. And right before the last class before spring break, he said, "I want you all to remember that every person you meet is a God-appointed meeting. Every single individual. And he starts talking about the people in the store. He starts talking about the people that you work with. And then he hits me with the person you're sitting next to on the airplane. So I start praying, Lord, let it be an empty seat. You know, Lord, let it be. Don't make me do this. And so sure enough, I get on the plane and the seat remains empty. It remains empty. And almost at the last minute, an individual comes down. He sits down next to me. Okay, God, I get it. I get it. This is a God-appointed opportunity. You know, I didn't end up leading that individual to Christ. We had a great conversation, and they didn't really have an interest or care necessarily about whether or not they wanted to accept Christ. But here's what I do know. It always stuck out in my mind. In my Jerusalem, there are people I miss on a daily basis. In my Jerusalem, people come in and people leave. That inner circle there that I see happen in front of my eyes, I miss opportunities to share what Jesus Christ has done for me. Our Jerusalem is this inner circle. And God says, Jesus says, you are to be my witnesses in that circle. Secondly, he says, not just Jerusalem, I want you to reach out to Judea and Samaria. Your Judea and your Samaria are the people that lie kind of on the fringes. They're harder to get to. You can't talk to them unless you intentionally go there. It's as if you have to go out of your way to share the gospel message. If we can't share the love of Christ with the people we see every day, I can go ahead and tell you we're failing in reaching our Judea and Samaria. If we're not sharing the gospel message with the people we already know, we're going to have a very difficult time reaching the people who we have to force ourselves to talk to. These people could be in a regional area. Maybe you look at Judea and Samaria as being the state of Illinois or the Midwest in general, or even the United States of America. I would maybe personalize it a little bit. Your Judea and your Samaria are those people who you have to seek out. You have to work to reach them. You know of their need. You know that you can do something about it, but it will cost you something to do it. Judea and Samaria were basically a region around Jerusalem that spread to the south and to the north. And so you could picture it as being Robinson, Illinois, being Jerusalem, and the state of Illinois in the Midwest being Judea and Samaria. These disciples were going to have to walk to get to all of Judea and Samaria. They were going to have to work and strive and struggle. And they had to ask themselves, isn't there someone else in these other areas of Judea and Samaria who could do this work? And Jesus says, it's your responsibility. But then he takes it even further. And he says, it's not enough just to reach Judea and Samaria. I want you to take my message to the very ends of the earth. This ought to convict every single one of us that our mission is to reach that lost person in the continent of Africa. Our mission, my personal mission, is to reach the nearly 8 billion people on this planet and share with them that Jesus Christ can change their lives. That is my job and my responsibility. That is your job and your responsibility. Because the gospel message has a global impact. It is more than just our local community. This morning, I'm pleased to tell you that as a church, First Baptist Church, we have a partnership. We have a mission. We have an opportunity to reach people scattered all over this world through the missionaries that we support. That card you have in front of you is a faith promise card. It's new. Some of you have filled out a faith promise card before. Others of you, this is the first time you're seeing it. This is something I want you to be in serious prayer about. How you can be a part of our missions giving. What Faith Promise is, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is your commitment to support missionaries that we support. And what it is you saying, I will give X number of dollars a month to help take the gospel message to the ends of the earth. We support several missionaries. I'm going to share a few of you with you now. The Liggett family is a family, Jonathan and Joanna Liggett. They have previously served in South Korea and also in Italy. They are currently in the process of moving to Guatemala to continue the Lord's work there. They have two children, a daughter named Piper and a son named Camden. You can see them there in the picture. and they have goals to go to Guatemala and plant multiple churches while they're there. They have goals to train Guatemalan natives to be pastors and ministers. They have goals to start feeding centers, to reach those who are hungry and share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And they have a passion to develop a youth camp and start a youth camp ministry while they're down in Guatemala. This is one of the missionaries we send financially to every single month. Let me also introduce you to the Richards family. They're in Wales, J.A. and Pam Richards. They've been in Wales since 1988. J.A. Richards, the man pictured there, is currently serving as the senior pastor of Cornwall Street Baptist Church. And he is ministering in one of the fastest growing Muslim areas or Muslim countries in the world. Islam, just as it is everywhere else on the planet, is skyrocketing. It is just growing by leaps and bounds, and part of their ministry is reaching a congregation or a group of people who are being bombarded with the message of Islam. We send to them on a regular basis to help take the gospel message to Wales. We actually support several missionaries. We have, I think, somewhere around 9 or 10 missionaries. You see here the Coopers, the Browns, the Pines, the Ralstons, the Hoaglands, the Torreses, the Lyles. They're spread out all over the world, as close as the state of Tennessee and as far away as the opposite end of the world in New Zealand. We also currently support Bible Baptist College in Springfield, Missouri. And as our finances permit, we're open to support even more missionaries if we are able to. Because our mission at First Baptist Church is not just a local mission. We realize that the gospel has a global impact. One way that you can be a part of taking the gospel message to the ends of the earth is filling out a faith promise card and keeping that promise to give $5 a month or $10 a month or $100 a month or whatever the Lord lays on your heart to support the gospel message to the ends of the earth. Well, I want you to know this morning, it's important that we realize the gospel has a global impact. It's meant for more than just our four walls of our church. It's meant to be taken outside of these four walls. But how, I'm sure you're asking, can I, a single individual, make this global impact? I can give financially, but really, how can I be a part of sharing the word? How can I start in my Jerusalem? How can I gather the courage to tell others about Christ? There's good news, and that is we don't have to carry the load on our own. The second thing we realize this morning is that the Spirit empowers the message. The Spirit empowers the message. You know, evangelism has a whole lot less pressure when we realize we don't have to do it on our own. William Fay defines evangelism, and I'm just paraphrasing, as being obedient to share the message and allowing God to do the work. He says, we never fail in our witness if we're obedient and allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. If we just speak, the gospel message is simple. It's simply saying, God changed my life and He can change yours. I always tell any Christian who says, I don't know how to share my faith, evangelism is one of the easiest things in the world. Just tell what God has done for you. My evangelism is as simple as this. I was a child, a young boy, and the worst thing I had ever done at my 10 years old was say cuss words on purpose. I knew they were wrong, and I thought it'd be fun to say them. So me and my friend Kenneth, we got beat up a lot. That's all right. We decided we'd be cool, and we'd say a lot of cuss words. And so that just for about 2 weeks, we just decided we'd cuss like crazy. Now, that's the worst thing I'd ever done when I was introduced to the message of Jesus Christ as a 10-year-old boy. My sins weren't great. I hadn't been to jail. As a 10-year-old boy, I'd never been to prison. I'd never done drugs, never done alcohol, never. Didn't have this crazy backstory, if you will. But in that moment, I realized that all that I had done up until that moment, all that I had done, I was running from God. I knew that when the gospel message was shared with me, because the Bible tells us all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I was a sinner just like that individual who had been to jail or prison, just like that drug dealer or that individual who is immersed in alcoholism. I needed someone to pull me out of that. And when I trusted in Jesus Christ, He did just that. The gospel message is simple. Jesus Christ saved me and changed me. And He can do the same for anyone else. It's hard. It's hard to get those words out, though. It's hard to actually say that when you're not standing in the middle of a bunch of other Christians. I'm sure that any one of you, if I needed to, any one of you who's professing in faith could struggle and stumble with similar words to that this morning, because you're surrounded by like-minded individuals. But it's hard when you leave the bubble of these four walls, isn't it? It's hard when you actually have to share it with someone who may look you in the eye and say, I'm not a sinner and I've not done anything wrong. Or I don't feel the need to make that commitment. Or I've got questions that I don't think you can answer. How do we have the strength? How do we carry on? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. His Spirit empowers our message. Acts 1:8 says just that. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. There is power in a relationship with Christ. There is power in assistance and help through the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we get so worried about whether we're going to say the right thing or do the right thing, and we forget we have all that we need. Francis Chan wrote a book called The Forgotten God. And as he's writing in this book, he tells us how we celebrate Jesus Christ as our Savior. We celebrate God the Father as someone we pray to, but we often neglect the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of people. And I'm not going to try to break down the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit Trinity with you this morning. It's very difficult to understand. I'm just going to share with you, God's Word makes it evident that God helps us through His relationship with us as a Father, His relationship with us as a Son, and His relationship with us as a Spirit. This quote I found gives me great confidence in living my life for Him in the book Forgotten God. Francis Chan writes this: Christ said it is better for us that the Spirit came, and I want to live like I know that that is true. I don't want to keep crawling when I have the ability to fly. I think a lot of times we have this mindset that we cannot do the things that the Bible tells us to do. We cannot carry out the mission that God has given us. But through the work of the Holy Spirit, we're not meant just to eke through life. We are meant to soar and we are meant to fly. The Spirit empowers the message that we share. Finally, and maybe most convicting this morning, Jesus, you may say, gave this instructions to these 11 men. Maybe just these 11 men were meant to take this message seriously. Maybe it's not for all people. Maybe it's for the disciples who are higher up. The apostles, maybe the pastors and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and the people who are already doing all of that work. It's for the missionaries to take care of. This morning, I want you to realize that all disciples are missionaries. All disciples are missionaries. And I'll add to that and tell you that all believers in Jesus Christ are disciples. We all are given this task and this responsibility. We all have to carry out the gospel message. This morning, as we start to think about our immense responsibility, I want you to know that God has put that responsibility on His sons and His daughters, on His children this morning. I've often thought, God, why do you leave this burden on us? Have you ever wondered why God has put us here and now and in this time? I started thinking, Lord, I know that in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it talked to us about Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. And in that time, it's kind of going to be the culmination of all of God's work. And finally, He's going to judge the righteous from the unrighteous. And all those in Christ will spend eternity with Him. And all those apart from Christ will not. And Lord, it's getting closer. Whether you believe that end time is coming tomorrow or in 100 years, I guarantee you we're closer to it today than we were yesterday. It's kind of like the last seconds, right? It's the end of this stage. And I started thinking in my sports-mindedness, Lord, when you get to the end of a big game, you put in your best player, you know? When you get to the end, you pull out and you bring Michael Jordan out and you have him play for you, right? If you need someone taking the last shot in all of history, You go and you grab Michael Jordan and you say, you're taking this shot. If it's in baseball, you plug in whoever you want to plug into. Bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases are loaded and you need a hit. Who do you send to the plate? I want Babe Ruth up there who can swap me a home run. You guys are St. Louis fans. You want Mark McGwire up there if you think he's the greatest. You want whoever you consider to be the best of the best swinging that bat. Maybe it's the fourth quarter, right? 2-minute drill. You need a quarterback to lead you down the field. This is the end. Who do you want quarterbacking for you? I grew up in Miami. Give me Dan Marino. Put him in there and let him go. Maybe you want Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or whoever you want to fill in the blank. Brett Favre, but you give me the best of the best. Anytime you get towards the end, you want to put the greatest. Started thinking, God, this is the end. This is the fourth quarter. This is the final shot. Shouldn't you have left the best of the best? Lord, why didn't you save Moses for the year 2015? Lord, why didn't you send Abraham? Why didn't you give us King David here and now? Why didn't you give us the Apostle Paul or Peter who was doing all of these instructions in the first century? Lord, why didn't you save the best of the best for now? And immediately God looks down and says, it is no mistake who I've left at this time. It is no mistake who I'm putting in this moment. We all are disciples and we all are missionaries. This is the time that God has called us to. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 1 and 2 say, working together with Him, we also appeal to you. Don't receive God's grace in vain. For He says, I heard you in an acceptable time. I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. You and I have a mission, and it's not to be waited on. It's not something we push off. We are called to be missionaries in our Jerusalem. We are called to be missionaries in our Judea and our Samaria. And we are called to be missionaries to the ends of the earth. This morning, as we think about what that means to take the gospel message to the entire world, we realize we serve a great God. We realize we serve a huge God who can carry this mission out. A Spirit that empowers us to take the gospel message not just to Crawford County, Illinois, but take it all the way to New Zealand through works that we do. To take it to Central America through works that we're a part of. To go into Wales and the United Kingdom and serve there. We have the ability through the help of the Spirit to take the gospel message everywhere. But let's not miss this truth. The gospel message always starts in the lives of individuals. It always starts in you. This morning, as we think about this message, as we think about carrying it out to the ends of the earth, realize that just as much love that God has in China, in Europe, in Australia, the God who loves those individuals enough to develop this master plan has a master plan for you. That Jesus Christ wants you to know salvation the same way He does the other 8 billion people on this planet. It starts in the lives of individuals. It starts in the lives of each one of us. This morning, my Jerusalem, as I stand before you, is you. My Jerusalem is to share with you that Jesus Christ has changed the lives of millions of people through history, and He can change your life this morning. Salvation is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to remove your guilt and your shame and your sin. Better yet, He wants to show you that there is a better life to be lived, that there is more for you than where you're currently at, and that there is a relationship to be had with the great God who created all things. This morning, during our invitation here in just a moment, I want you to ask yourself, do I have that message in my heart? Has the gospel message, though it's spread to the ends of the earth, has it spread to me personally? Do I know Him and do I trust Him? Let's pray this morning. Father, we come before You and we realize that we all need this message. We come before you this morning because we know that without you, we are lost and we're helpless. We come before you because we know that the message is that Jesus Christ can save us from any guilt and shame and sin. And Lord, we pray this morning that each one of us would have that realization that you died on a cross for us. Lord, I pray that you would let us take that message, put it in our hearts, live it out in such a way that we can reach this entire world with that message. Lord, let it start with the people here and now. Let it spread to those who we have to work at and fight for. And Lord, let us be a part of a church that takes it to the ends of the earth. Lord, we pray that we would worship you this morning for the salvation you've given us, for forgiving us of our sins. And we ask then that you would give us that message through your Spirit to carry out to others. It's in your name we pray. Amen. This time I would invite you to stand to your feet. And this morning's invitation is simple. First and foremost, has Jesus Christ, the message of his love, impacted your life? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you know what it means to have a relationship with him? Do you have questions to ask? And if so, the first part of that invitation is simply ask those questions. Come and talk to me this morning. Come and ask and find out how you can know that you know him. The second part of the invitation is just, Lord, how can I be a missionary right here in Jerusalem, in Robinson? How can I be a missionary in my Judea and Samaria? How can I support missions to the ends of the earth? Let's worship God this morning who takes this message